I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like ish girls, hey, we the ish girls.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is
Jenny. This is Lindsay.
How are we, hon?
Oh, I'm very fucking good. How are you?
Very fucking good.
I'm so fucking glad.
Sadly, we just both had a podcast.
Oh, yeah, we actually
ate a bit of chalky.
We had a little bit of chalky in a DC.
Which is Diet Coke.
Diet Coke, yeah, not some weird ass shit. Okay, so we are doing a Q&A. We do these monthly. We had to shut down the Tumblr because there was too many questions coming in. So we only open them when we're doing a Q&A.
Yeah.
And you came through. So
as always, queens.
Juicy questiones for the girlies.
Yes, so let's jump into it, shall we?
Right in.
Question numero uno. Hey gals, I love the podcast and your open, honest nuggets of golden advice. Here's the situation. Is honesty really the best policy? I have had some friends over last night and got really drunk and tongue-kissed one of my girlfriends for the lols. I've been with my boyfriend for a few months now and thought it was harmless and a thing straight girl pals do, but since reading responses on Quora, I love that she went on Quora, I'm wondering whether I should tell him or not. I love him and don't want to needlessly hurt him. Can I just say me when I've done something Googling it?
Okay, what the fuck is Quora?
Quora is like an, if you've never seen that, when you like Google a question and a website comes up Quora, where someone asks a question and then like people on the internet can answer it, but also like clinical psychologists, like verified accounts can actually be like, what you're experiencing right now is blah 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 blah.
Okay, it sounds like birth control.
What's birth control?
When you don't, like the pill.
Oh, what do you mean? It sounds like, oh, like it sounds a brand of birth
like
control.
Like, what do you use? I use the Quora, you?
Oh, no, so it's basically...
What's birth control?
I thought you meant like it was a website. I was like, it sounds like the website, birth control. No, so I'm sure you've definitely been on it. Like, if you've ever Googled a question, there's a Quora for it. So it's like a public forum where you ask a question, people answer.
Like Yahoo Answers. I remember that back in the day.
Kind of, but it's like specifically, like it's less so about like you know, what restaurant is the best one to go? It's always about like, I've had a dream. There's like always really long, mad dreams on it and people are like interpreting them and shit. It's very interesting. However, that is not the point of the question. The point of the question is, she scored her mate.
Tongue-kissed. I love that she said tongue-kissed.
I know.
Because that is so, like, I remember just the whole tongue-kissing being, like, a thing in school when, like, I think I'd kissed, like, pecked a guy in the cheek or whatever on the lips, but it was like, no, but have you met someone?
I just think that's so, like, she must be young. She's saying,
yeah, she must be young if she's, like, tongue is the operative.
Because when, I don't know, I'm like, she must be so innocent as well in a cute way because we were saying tongue-kissing when I was fucking 11.
Maybe we have just a very diverse listener. Yeah. If you are 11, can you just go to your mammy and
back
tell her to
TikTok.
Throw your phone in the bin.
Back on TikTok, girl.
I love, also she said like you give golden nuggets of advice, which just reminded me of that cereal
golden
back
nuggets.
In the 90s.
I love the word nuggets because I love golden nuggets.
I love golden nuggets. Yum, yum, yum. Anyway, okay, so you tongue kissed your mate and you're going out with this lad and you feel bad.
And she's asked the internet, which is question, like, number one thing not to do. Because, like, that is so something that girls, I feel, do when they're, like, afraid to ask their pals. And we've all been there. Where you've done something and you're like, okay, I need advice. Don't want to tell my friends about this. Don't want to tell them that I'm second-guessing myself. So I'm going to ask the internet. And the annoying thing about it is that, like, no one knows your exact situation. Like, I mean, whenever I've like Googled random questions, it's always like I'm reading their question and I'm like, yeah, yeah, same, same. Then they do say something and they're like, I'm 15 years married. I'm like, oh, I don't have all that with me.
Yeah,
all
I
the
know.
Questions are about answers about the marriage. I'm like,
or the answers are reading you wrong. Where they're like, yeah. It sounds like you're not comfortable with your sexuality and that's why you explored, which is perfectly fine. But you obviously have to sit your boyfriend down and say that you're bi. And it's like, okay, so what do you think?
Well, let's look at it in a like larger, let's look at her situation first and then we can open it up to like just girls in general, like kind of getting with each other, because I think there's two different, this exists on a spectrum. I think like if I was just like, hers is very easy for me to like slap up. I'm like, no, you don't tell your fella that you like smooched your friend at a sleepover. Mm-hmm. Like that's completely innocent. Like it is something that girls do. It is something that society like accepts more from women than men. There's a different conversation for a different day.
Well, society sexualizes it towards men, like the male gaze or whatever. Like it's seen as a, and I understand maybe she's a bit kind of confused because it obviously happened at a girl's party. Now, well, that's what I'm assuming.
Well, I think society kind of it's not only that it's sexualized towards the male gaze, but I also think that it's accepted because women are so tactile with each other in general. It's a very like socially acceptable thing for women to be like, even like you don't see men greeting each other, kissing each other on the cheek in Ireland anyway. You know, you might in France. It's just we're not a very, in Ireland and in England and probably America, like men on men aren't tactile towards each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not as far of a reach, you know, like you'll be like, you know, it's normal to see like girls like lying on each other's lap, stroking each other's hair, you know, that way.
Yeah.
So it's like women do express.
Well, women do in that sense. But then I do think, and then I think that's where it's seen as more like the intimate. But then I definitely feel that men in Ireland can kind of be a bit expressive with like, say, kissing each other when they're watching a match and something like that. Like it's just a bit more like in a masculine way, you know.
Yeah,
so say
yeah.
if like, just imagine if like your fella and all his mates were out at the pub and like finally their match won or whatever the fuck, I don't know about football, their match scored like won the universe and like they kind of grab each other and they kiss or they like slap each other's arses.
It's expressed in different ways. Yeah,
it is. And it's just like,
but what I mean is that like female friendships aren't like, they're almost expected to be quite intimate in a way. Not like sexually intimate, but like a lot of the time, like, it, you know, you wouldn't, if you walked in on two girlfriends and they were like lying on each other, as I said, and one was stroking their hair, you wouldn't be like, oh God, I must have interrupted you. You'd be like, hey, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not that far off. Like two girls kissing isn't that far off. Being naked together in a room, being like, your tits are huge. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like, it's not like, you know, this thing that came from like, I've never touched my friend, so we were rolling around. So it can, what I mean,
well, it is
like
the same with men as well, though, in the like locker room where they're going around like fucking helicoptering their dick and slapping each other's eyes. Where I do think with this question, she's saying like, we got really drunk and tongue kissed. So she's obviously saying the word tongue. So it's obviously removed from that sense of like habitual female kind of intimacy.
No, I know. I'm not saying, what I'm saying is that like the reason why society accepts it is because it gets, you're just, you see it more often out in the day to day in a way of like intimately, like being holding hands and stuff. Like, yeah, men do it in like, you know, throes of passion, but you know, how many times could you see two girls going around like linking each other? Do you see fellas doing that? No, you don't. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that men don't do it. I'm saying it's more socially acceptable and seen in society. So what I'm saying is that it's for like girls to be kissing each other. Like even if a guy heard that, I'd say most guys, as you said, number one, they could probably sexualize it, or number two, they'd just be like, yeah, all right. Because girls, like when I was going out, when I was younger, all the girls are like scoring each other in the club. Like even girls who aren't, you know, even bi-curious or whatever. Like it was just a thing. Girls do that a lot of the time. And it can be, I'm not saying that it can't be for men, but it can be completely innocent from my experience as a girl who's done that, you know, that way. I can't speak on behalf of men because I ain't one.
I think the difference here is that like you're saying, yes, and I remember growing up, that was a thing. Like when I was in college and stuff, that, you know, we'd be at a college night out and two girls would just be showing off, quite frankly, and just be like, oh, we're gonna kiss, and then like kissing, and then all the men who were like, well, love that. But this is like, it is a bit different when there's no men around and it is just you two, and I guess you have to explore why that happened. And if it is purely innocent, that it was just this drunken thing that was like whatever, and
yeah, but it sounds innocent because she said she had a few of her friends over, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like it was like a, I dare you to kiss her kind of situation. It's not like when I read that, it wasn't like, you know, she's like, oh my God, my best friend came over. We were lying in the bed and we ended up like freaking making out all night. There doesn't like her, I don't think her concern is that like she has feelings for her friend. Like, I think it's normal and healthy to like, you know, to not only express intimacy to other women like that, but to have moments of like, dare I call it experimentation with mm-hmm. other women, you know, that way. And I don't think it has to be this big, like, introspective moment of like, where did that come from? Because sometimes it just doesn't come from anywhere. Sometimes it just like they can dare.
And I agree with that.
You.
I'm just saying, just from her saying the tongue kissing, I'm like, is that making her feel some type of way? Because like,
well, I think she means like it wasn't like a. She's just trying to like define that it's like a, she scored a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I would always with this kind of shit, if you are dealing with like a situation where you're wondering whether you should tell your partner, I would always just try and think, put yourself, you know, flip it. So that's kind of how I deal with it, because mm-hmm. I don't think that we should take like gender and all the different societal like exceptions of like how women handle French kissing and how men do. You know, like I think, because it does depend on the lad. Like, I have been with lads who I know wouldn't give a flying bollock if I snog my friend. And
oh, some would care a lot.
And I
yeah.
know that guys would be, other guys would be
freaked.
Totally, like, see that as cheating. So I don't even think it depends on the act or whatever. It does depend on the guy.
I think it depends on your intention, for me. It doesn't depend on, like, I mean, if you were kissing your friend because you have romantic feelings for her, then... yeah, you should probably have a look at that. But like, if it is an innocent thing, it's like if you're, to me, it's like there has to be like a gray area in relationships almost, where like you have to like have a little bit of leniency, like, you know. And everyone discovers that in their own relationship. It's like boundaries, you know, the way there's no one gray area that suits everyone. You know, for some people, you could go out to a club, have a boyfriend and be with your single friends, and, you know, if you're with a group of guys and kind of, you know, harmlessly flirt to one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, some guys that wouldn't be okay with, no, or in some relationships that wouldn't be all right. So you have to figure out, like, in your relationship, did you cross a boundary there, or is it also something that like you want to be continuously doing? I don't know. It's like,
and then with that as well, with the boundary thing, because say if that is something that you like, you know, you go out, you get drunk and shit happens like that, and that's something that you don't want to let go of, but you feel that your partner of a few months only might really not like, then maybe you aren't a great match.
Exactly.
You know,
maybe,
like, if
he's
that
a
would be
more
something
conservative
that,
than you are,
yeah,
you know.
Because, yeah, I would be, it just depends on kind of the boundary that you have for yourself or the boundary. And it feels like, from what I'm getting from this message, I think she's concerned over how her boyfriend would react, regardless of her intentions or of the, like.
Yeah, that's her main concern, 100%, yeah. Is hurting her fella. She doesn't really care that she kissed her friend, I don't think. Other than
no.
the fact that she has a boyfriend.
No, she's not like, who do I like, my friend
yeah.
or my boyfriend?
yeah.
You know, she's like, oh, fuck, I've done this thing which I think might impact my 3-month relationship.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think what it is that she's kind of come up against where she thought it's grand not to tell. That's what she's kind of getting at here, where she's like, then I googled it and everyone's saying like, oh no, you should definitely tell. And then she's second guessing herself. She's kind of like, fuck, am I trying to hide something on someone? And then she's also going, like she said, like at the end, I don't want to needlessly hurt him. And I think if that's your point, like if it is going to be needlessly hurting someone, like that's how I kind of always like scale up these things. I'm like, what's like the greater good of me telling them? Like, there's always things that like, it's a little bit of an uncomfortable thing that you might have to tell your boyfriend, but you know it'll like, you know, help improve your, you know, relationship. If you're like, I spent the last of our savings on Depop, you're like,
yeah.
Some stuff you have to come clean about, you know. And it's going to be an uncomfortable situation, but at the end of the day, like, it's better than lying. Stuff like this is kind of a needlessly hurt thing, because like, if you know yourself, and this is what, you know, I guess you were getting at, Lynn, like, if you know yourself that it was innocent, then, you know, you kind of have to, it's like, is me telling him almost like making it a bigger deal, because you're like coming clean.
And how can you tell that? Because,
and
like,
how can you convince them that it was innocent too? They'd be like, then why are you telling me?
I know, that's the weird thing, because it's really hard to describe girl time to guys.
Yeah.
You know the way?
Yeah. And like, look, a lot of guys I think would get it in a way. I think they'd be like, what? But like, you don't know. You can't predict how someone will react.
No. But I guess it also is how, you know, if it does feel like you're withholding this kind of secret, and it's going to make you kind of be uncomfortable continuing on this relationship because you feel like you have this secret baggage in the back of your mind. Like, if it's impacting your mind and you're thinking about it and you just feel like, I mean, it really does depend if it's like, if you feel like you have a dirty conscience or something like that.
I just wouldn't beat myself up too much, you know. No. I think
but I mean, that depends on the individual. Like, I mean, if she's already writing into us looking on Google, she's,
but I would encourage
something.
Her to, like, you know, if we're going to look at it completely objectively and not, you know, carry and say, if we ignore the boyfriend for a second, like, I wouldn't beat myself up or think about it too much, unless it's like, you know, unearthing emotions or feelings that you're having from some other place. I wouldn't take it too seriously. Like, I think a lot of the time we're told, like, you know, every action you have to, like, be like, why did I do this and plan it back. Sometimes random bullshit happens and you don't have to always be like, that is part of me, you know. That
no
way,
so. I'm not saying that. I'm saying,
oh,
that
no,
if
I know,
it's,
you're
just
not,
on
just...
her conscience, and if she can't kind of move past, like, I mean, because if that was me and if I was, you know, I'm assuming this girl's a bit younger or whatever, you know, from her saying like French kissing, like, I mean, does it really matter if it's a kiss on the lips, that the tongue, like, whatever, you kissed your friend. It seems pretty innocent to me, but we don't know because we're not there. And also your boyfriend know, because he won't know because he wasn't there. So it's only how you kind of feel about it. So if you just feel like that was just a stupid thing, you know, and, or not even a stupid thing, just a kind of like a flippant girl, innocent, friendly thing. You haven't seen your friends in so long. You've been quarantined and now you're together. And like, I was texting my friends that when we were, you know, in quarantine and we hadn't seen each other, we were like all texting each other being like, I'm going to snog your fucking face off when I see you, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's weird being released back into the wild post-quar when we've been sat inside for 3 months. It's odd. And so I think let yourself, like, give yourself a bit of leniency in the fact of, like, it's not like it's a regular occurrence. Like, I have a friend of mine who, when she first started seeing her fella, they'd be at, like, house parties, and, like, she was going out with this, her fella, who's now her husband, and she'd be kind of, like, kissing this, a girlfriend of hers, you know, in front of the guys, and the guys would be like, yup, loving it. And then it kind of was happening every weekend, and then she was like going up to the bedroom and like with the girl, and her boyfriend had to sit her down and be like, here, look, no, you
yeah,
know. But
yeah,
if it's
yeah.
just like a bloody once in a blue moon randomly yeah. you snogged your friend,
and that's what I was kind of getting at the start. I wasn't, you know, trying to like bring into like how society deals with gender on gender romance or intimacy. I was more just saying that, like, I'm trying to like comfort her. It is something that girls do all the time, and it is like it happens
and
all
get,
the time
yeah.
and it's complete, and it can be most of the time. Like, if you went into it and you're coming out of it thinking it was innocent, then just leave it at that, you know. Like, it is something that girls do all the time. And look, looking at the Quora shit is like looking at medical online. Like, you're looking up, you've got this little bump on your leg and all of a sudden you've got cancer.
I
like
know.
These people,
don't Google anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also the people on this are usually like, it's usually just a way bigger situation where they're like Americans and really dramatic, you know what
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
It's like the likeliness of them being your age in your exact situation with, you know, your history of, I don't know, sexuality is like minute. So just look at yourself, try not to over amplify it too much in your head, because like it is, it's one of those things that like you give it the space, it like is going to take up in your head. Like, you know, you can, you have to also train yourself, I think, sometimes. Like, I mean, I know it from like, I'm sure you're the same, it's like going out for years, it's like having a bit of fear the next day. If you just choose to like indulge on this one embarrassing thing, say that you did in a night out, it becomes this massive issue for you, and you can feel so like, I've done it where I've been so embarrassed and then I've like gone to the person and been like, I'm really embarrassed about the last time I saw you, I did this, this and this, and they're like, did you,
what
yeah, like, what's your name again? So it'll hold as much relevancy as you give it in your own head, you know. So
yeah.
try not beat yourself up. And I don't think you have to tell your boyfriend now. If it is a situation like you were just saying there, Linsburg, every single time you guys are having a sleepover, you're scoring the face off each other, that's not exactly something that you would probably want your boyfriend to be doing with his friends. Like, imagine he
yeah.
came back from a sleepover and was like, I scored Michael again last night. You'd be like...
And that's where I think with the whole like gender, like whatever, all that shit we were talking about at the start of this question, where I do think like in a way it is just a kind of unequal that like women will like, you know, be so much more flippant with how intimate we can be with our girlfriends, and then kind of... you know, shame men for being like, I remember even in school, like if a friend, I remember one of my guy friends had a sleepover with another guy, And like they just stayed in the same bed, and the whole school were like, "Yeah, you fucking gays." You know, the way like it is, that's another question, but it is interesting how we like not only sexualize women on women, you know, being together for the kind of experimental side, but also don't bat an eyelid, you know. So that's it, but that's another question. But I do think like, yeah, it's, you know, it is whatever you think it is, and it depends. It really does just depend, because so many, it's just so different for everyone. Like like you said, it just depends on how conservative he is, or even how you are. Like if you yourself are a really conservative person and you did something out of character and you, whatever.
Yeah.
So just like, don't beat yourself up about it, whatever, at all. But
if it, I think it, the main thing is like, if it's a repeat offender, like say, for example, like, you know, say your boyfriend wouldn't like you kissing your mate. Think of something that you wouldn't like your boyfriend to be doing. Say something real laddish to do. Like say he just ghosted you for a whole day because he was hungover or on the sesh. You can forgive that once, and you don't need him to come to you and be like, "Look, this is why I did it. I was kind of annoyed at you, and I was actually kind of trying to be a lad in front of the friends." Once off, you can just be like, "I actually don't really need to hear your fucking excuse. Just don't do it again." But if he's doing it every weekend, you're going to be like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, if it's almost like a test of your respect, or like kind of pushing you, and it's like, "Hold on, nah."
Yeah, and look, you've got a level of self awareness, so maybe it just doesn't actually sit right with you. Maybe you were just like,
"That was a random ass night. Me and my friends got a bit too fucking drunk, and that's not who I am, and it's not who I want to be in this relationship."
Yeah. So YOLO, girl, it's all good.
YOLO, move on.
Next question, girl.
What is your opinion on long-term relationships from a young age? Do you think they last? Do you think they're that you're missing out on parts of growing up?
Interesting. Interesting.
So, okay. I mean, I think this is something that I don't know if there's like, there's definitely like this war between like people who are, you know, single, people who are in relationships. Well, that's dramatic. I'm being dramatic here. People, I mean, but like there's this, like there's always these conflicting ideas, and whether it's like, oh, you should, you know, only settle down when you're in your late 20s. You shouldn't be having, there's just these like made up things that people pull out of their arse to kind of put you down for however your life is panned out.
And it's usually a projection of their own insecurities, honestly. Like if you're in a long-term relationship and you're like, say, 19, and you've been going out with someone for 4 years, if everyone's been like, "You're meant to be single when you're 19 it's usually because they're insecure that they want everyone else to mirror what they're doing. That's what humans, we kind of are like that. Like we find it unusual and strange and challenging when someone who is in technically our situation, like be it age, like, you know, class or whatever, if someone goes off and does something completely different, like say if, you know, someone I know is like quitting my job in the bank, if I was working in the bank, they're like, "And I'm gonna go travel around Southeast Asia," I'm like, "You'll never get a fucking mortgage." It's usually rooted from a place of a little bit of insecurity and societal norms and all that kind of shit, you know. So if someone is giving you grief over being in a long-term relationship when you're younger, you know, it can usually be a, like, few things. Like, they don't understand. They maybe haven't been in a long-term relationship themselves, so they just don't have the comprehension of why it's nice or important to you. Or maybe they want it and they're feeling a little bit like, "You shouldn't be doing that."
I think for people who have found their long-term relationship at a young age, it's like the thing about long-term relationships and relationships in general, especially like a healthy, happy relationship, is that a lot of it is just luck.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I mean, say if you're all in school in a year together, and there was like, I know a good few of my friends in secondary school who would have maintained that, well, not a good few, but a couple of them who would have like met in secondary school, gone out, and they're still together and they have kids. And it's kind of like, I think, yes, I'm sure maybe their life wasn't maybe as adventurous as other people who had many different relationships or whatever, but I think it's like what we want, what people who kind of want to put that down, they want to kind of discredit it, because it is a lot of the time just luck. And it is, if you want that, like it is a nice thing to have. Again, if we're talking about like a healthy, happy relationship. And I think people want to discredit it because they want, with relationships, I feel people want to try and like
make sense of it almost.
Yeah, where there's no sense.
No, it is complete potluck, as you were saying. And I think even like, if you're going to talk about an unhealthy relation, long-term relationship, like my first relationship wasn't like exactly the, like I always get kind of jealous when I hear people being like, "Oh my, you know, you never fall out of love with your first love." And I'm like, I'll challenge you on that one. You know the way when people come out with that stuff, they're like, "Yeah, your first love," I'm like, "You do. You fully fucking can. But even though I had that long-term relationship that wasn't anything I would wish on anyone, or like that I'm even like so glad I spent 3 years doing that, I also learned so much. So, you know what I mean? It's like, even if the long-term relationship, like I think you should just do things that feel good for you at that time and not be concerned with like, oh, I'm 19, I should be single. Because you can also be 19 single and miserable, or you can be 19 single and have the best time ever. It just depends on your circumstances.
I always wonder about that. Like, why should you be single? Like, why should you be telling a 19-year-old that she shouldn't be just with one person and that she should be dead? Like, why? Like, I just, my confusion and like what wrecks my head around like conversations about relationships and love and all that kind of stuff, like that you were saying, that quote of like, you never get over your first love.
Yeah.
It's just like, where did that come from? Because love is an illusion, first of all. Like, we, you know, love is not something that we can like see or hear or whatever. Like, so it's, and we don't also know how, even if you are in a relationship, like you don't know how, like who loves each other more, how they really feel for you, because you only ever really know how you feel. So it's like, why do we constantly try to make these rules around love?
I guess as humans, we like are constantly trying to make rules around everything to make sense of them, just like you were saying.
And like a relationship is just togetherness. And like, I just don't understand how people, okay, if we're looking at, say, a really young relationship,
I can understand it. I can see if I had a daughter and she was like, say, like teen years, I'm like, whatever, that's just like, you're figuring shit out. But like, if I had like a 19-year-old daughter, she got a boyfriend, I'd like, they've been together, say she's 20 and they've been together since she was 15, and like I can see it. I do think there is like a level of like life that you can kind of not only get from being single, but that you do, like, you learn shit from being single. You know, you learn shit from being in a relationship too, don't get me wrong. But like, I think that, you know, we've spoken about it in podcasts before, there's always like a girl who's been gone out with her fella for, like, my first boyfriend, we broke up for, I was with him from I was 16 till I was like 19. I think I was almost 20. No, I was 19, sorry. And I remember being like, how do I talk to lads? And you're so just like, kind of, you're just held back in that way, kind of socially. And you can only learn that from being single, you know, that way. And I do think my single years that I had from when I was like 19 till I was like 25, they taught me so much about like kind of coming out of my shell and making, you know, being a bit more like socially aware and better at meeting strangers and all of those kind of things. I'm not saying you can't learn that while also being in a relationship, but definitely being single helped that. And it also helped me like make a lot of my friends. Like, I think there is a few kind of coming of age years. Now, I don't think it's a rule, but I can see why people would be like, you know, if you had a daughter and all of her friends were going out every weekend, she was staying with her fellow every weekend and they were in college, you'd be kind of like, oh, it'd be so good. You'd have so much fun if you were like out being a bit more free and wild, you know, that way.
But that's where I'm thinking about, like, if it is, I think none of it matters if it is in a healthy relationship. And I do feel if it is in a healthy relationship, there's so, especially if you're very young, I do think there's a difference between a long-term relationship when you're young, where you're acting as mini adults. Mm. Like, I know some people who would have been very young getting together and they're already thinking about renting a house or saving for a mortgage, and they're basically living like a married couple of 40.
I think that's kind of what the stigma is, isn't it? Because I do think that it either makes you, it can make you grow up a little bit too quick, or you just don't get to also live that crazy single kind of young years.
And I don't think that should be like, you know, I think you should be able to have both. You know, say if you are in college and you're in a long-term relationship, if you have to, like, if you are wanting, or, you know, seeing that you're so different to everyone else mm-hmm. in your age, then I do think that is a bit of a, like, red flag of, like, how you're handling yourself. Because I think those college years and that kind of like freedom of being able to like be a bit wild and not worry about like certain adult issues is just such a privilege, and something that I do think if you can indulge in it. But if something like a relationship is holding you back from being able to avail of some of all the things that should be accessible to you because of your age, then that's just a totally different thing, you know.
But I think it kind of does, like, realistic, like, I mean, because, you know, fair enough, right? When I was in college, there was loads of couples, okay? But like, because they were in the same college in the same year in the same friend group, they could live their crazy, like they could be, they were doing the same shit that I was doing. Mm-hmm. But that's so situational. Like, some people go into college with a boyfriend that they've had from school. He's not in your college. He's not in your college group. Like, I had that. So, like, you know, and I knew people who had that, who were in like healthy relationships than I was. But it's like, there's always going to be that push and pull. Like, even now, like when I'm in a, you know, a relationship, and you've known it from being in a relationship too, there's just certain liberties that being single gives you. Now, there's certain liberties that being in a relationship gives you too. You know, it's both, you know, but there is a kind of thing where like,
I think that's exactly it though. I think like if we're comparing, like you were saying about like if your daughter or whatever and having that, I think what our generation is sold is that you can have it all, and you should have it all. You should have a wonderful childhood. You should have your crazy college years, some traveling time. You should intern a little bit.
First love that you're still loving.
Yeah. And I think it's like, there are choices in life. You can't have it all. Like, no. I mean, of course you want to, but like, say for me having children young, that took away my ability to fuck off to Thailand and take ayahuasca or whatever that other people in my college were doing, or, you know, just be wild and free for a couple of years. But it is just like, you cannot have it all, and there's always going to be someone who has a different life than yours. So you have to just be solid in your decision. Now, of course, with relationships, there's always that like gamble of you could spend 7 years with a guy and it goes tits up, and then you're like, why the fuck didn't I shag a load of hot guys in college? But what are you going to do? You can't live your life with that thought process. You can't be like, oh, you know, I shouldn't get married just in case, or whatever, or I should be single because I don't want it. Like, you have to just be solid in your own decisions. And another question, actually, Jenny, we got on Tumblr was, how do you guys make big decisions? Which I think kind of links in with this one. It's kind of like, and I don't know if there's any like way to make a big decision, because like there's always gambles. Like there's always sometimes a gamble.
Also, yeah, like, and sometimes also big decisions, you only see them as big decisions after the fact.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just come, they turn up in your life and you
just don't
go,
notice.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to choose this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, like if I look back at certain choices I've made, I definitely wasn't like sitting down and writing pros and cons. No. But I'm like, that choice definitely impacted like how my life moved. But I think in this, like our generation in 2020, we're so used to living online and being able to see visibly how everyone else, like comparing how we are living to other people. So that I think can infringe your ability to be like, am I happy? Because they seem to be happier. But like, you just have to be kind of content. And I think we're sold this lie of being like, you can have the, you can have it all, you should have this wonderful life. And it's like, life is wonderful, but you just have to accept what you've got, like what you've been given, and try to make the most out of it
and make decisions. You know, you don't have to make like the whole big decision thing is like, you know, say for example, if we bring it back to like long-term relationships, right, from like a young age, like you could see that as a holistic big decision, as in like, I'm deciding to stay in this relationship, or now I'm in college, will I decide to leave? It's like, take it step by step, see how it goes. Like, you don't have to, like, it's also a thing in society now where it's like you have to know exactly what you want immediately, and you have to make the decision, knock it on the head, you know. No, like, go to college, say you've got your fella, like everyone could be telling you, you want to break up with your boyfriend before you go to college, go to college and see who it is. Maybe he's going to make friends with all your college friends, or maybe then if he starts to be, if you start to see that it is holding you back, and if you start to want, like that was a big thing for me, wanting to break up with my boyfriend, I was like, I actually want this life, not that life. Like, I went in going out with him, you know, I went out with him up until like, I think it was like halfway through first year. And I could just see myself edging closer and closer to wanting to be more so, I wanted to be like indulging in my college years. I didn't really see it as like singledom, but I knew I couldn't do that with a boyfriend.
And you also didn't, you also didn't want him around. And I think it's a kind of case of, if you recognize that like you having this relationship and the choices to kind of continue nourishing that relationship equal that you feel like you're sacrificing a lot of mm-hmm. things that you want to do and that you're feeling like, oh.
Yeah.
Because I have some friends like that who I'm like, I can tell that you're kind of not really wanting to hang out with your boyfriend and that you're saying, oh, I wish I could, but no. I have to see him.
And look, everyone thinks that at some point as well with their fella.
It just depends on how much, if it's a consistent thing of being like, yeah, if you're feeling pulled and like you're missing out, or if you are, it is just about being content.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Or being able to like, you know, if you do have a boyfriend and you're in college or whatever, or you're doing something else, you know, whatever point in your life is that your boyfriend's kind of like going, for fuck's sake. But like, if you can sacrifice the one weekend, you know, out... just to hang with your fella because you haven't seen him in 2 weeks, like, and you're fine when you're doing it, you know what I mean? I think it's like that was something for me that like when I would be missing out on nights out or whatever, even when I was hanging out with him, I was like, this is shite, you know? It's not like I then hung out with him and was like, oh, we're having so much fun, I'm sorry for being so mean to you in front of my friends. You know,
but I do think looking back at like my college years, like, I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but me getting with Rilo's dad in like first year, the latter half of my first year of college, like, dear God, my first half year of NCAD was so bomb. Like it was so fun. I just was so free and like no worries of like texting a lad or is it weird that I'm talking to this guy, and it was just like so exciting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had this longing because I hadn't had a long-term relationship, so I had it in my head. I was like, oh God, loads of people in college have had these, like, you know, exes that they were going out with for a year or 2 years, and I was like, oh, I went out with a guy for 3 months or whatever. So that was something that I was like comparing myself. I was like, oh shit, I feel a bit like a bit lesser than because they have all this like experience and I didn't. So then when I went out with my first proper boyfriend, you know, I was more thinking about that, being like, okay, I remember that when I was like in my younger 20s being like, okay, I just want to go out with someone for at least 6 months so I can say I had a 6 month
100%. Yeah. And like, I was so the same in college that like, obviously I broke up and was single for my first half of, whoa, we were so opposite, man. For my half of first year, and it was so, I can't remember what the fuck, and then like exams. But then from second year, all the rest of college, I was completely single. Now, there was 100%, like I remember myself and Leanne where I was just like, I want a boyfriend, because there was a huge group of people that we kind of like were, you know, hanging around with-ish that were like, there was a load of couples in them, you know, that way they're like college couples. And me and Leanne were always like, I want that.
And they're more adult as well. And it's kind of like
having dinner parties.
Oh God. Well, that's Trinity. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And like NCAD was even like that. Like they were like,
but they all live in house shares.
Yeah. Couples are randomly living together.
Oh my God. I know. What the fuck? That happened so much in like second year. But like now looking back on it, as you said, hindsight 2020, I'm so glad that I was 100% single throughout all of college. Like I think it really added to my experience.
And I think that's the importance for me. It's like, fair enough being in a long-term relationship, but I do think the problem, you know, really good, like the problem is acting like a mini adult, because I'm like, oh my God, you have to act as an adult for the literal entirety of your life past college.
Yeah, so why not indulge?
Like, you have the excuse to be a dumb little shit in college. Bleeding hot. Take it.
Oh, 100%. Because especially because it's like, you know, you're an adult, so you get all the liberties of being able to go to the club. You can buy a drink. You can tell your mum and dad, I'm an adult.
Have your ciggies.
But you can still literally act like a teenager. Yeah, so that like, for me would be like, I do think, you know, even if you're in like the most healthy relationship ever, like I remember there was so many couples that were like, everyone was like, they'll be together forever in college. And like they broke up like the year after college. And I remember being like, I'd be raging if I had 4 years of relationship with college. Hanging out with all these rides, by the way. And then we get dumped the
and
first
well,
minute.
When you're in college, there's fuckloads of guys and there's fuckloads of opportunities to date, kind of like, you know, with ease.
And try on a load of guys for size as well.
Yeah, and just be
know?
Like hanging out with guys here and there, getting to know the, like, kind of figuring out who you are. That's so college. Who am I?
But it's like, you know, it's like what you're saying when you're talking about the mini adult thing. Like, I'm sure there are some relationships where you're having fun and all that kind of stuff where, you know, it's like a lighthearted relationship. But when it comes to long-term relationships, there is a level of adultness that will just come hand in hand with that, whether you're ready for it or not. So like, if you are in a 4-year relationship in third year college, you automatically, in my opinion, are probably going to be in a slightly more grown up, serious, you know, this, like, you know, we're going to my boyfriend's house for dinner. Like, there are things that, like, I just didn't have to bother with because I was single in college. And, you know, so that would be something that I'm like, if you do choose to stay in a long-term relationship, and again, you might prefer it that way, but you might be living, I don't know if you can live that full-on, like, kind of, like, semi-adolescent yet being an adult life in college while also being in a long-term relationship. Now, you can have your little boyfriends here or there, but,
oh,
like,
exactly. And I think that's, and that's, like, a choice that you have to consider because you don't get that chance again post-college.
No, you don't.
And even if you do want to be, like, like me, who is this, you know, I'm kind of still immature in some sense of, like, I still go out and whatever, but it's just totally different. Like, you, it's like college is just such a of the moment time. And if you're privileged enough to go to college and have that experience, like, I mean, I remember I was living with my friend Michelle. Like, I didn't, you know, half living with her, half not, basically just had this sesh gaff in NCAD. But her roommate moved out and she had to move someone else in from NCAD. And this girl moved in with her boyfriend, a long-term relation. And we'd be like coming back from the nights out, like wearing one shoe, you know, our hair fucking bedraggled, like with so many stories to tell. We'd have a cigarette in her room.
Yeah.
And like the roommate would be like, hey, can you not smoke inside? And like her and her boyfriend would be like shooing us out because they were having another couple over for dinner that night. And it was just such an opposite world. And I was so glad that I was in my fucking minging ass sesh world.
Your weird little bubble. No, it's, you're so right. I think you just have to choose what kind of life you want to live. But I don't think ultimately it's the worst thing if you're in a long-term relationship when you're young.
It's not. But it is a gamble. And relationship, gamble. Every relationship is a gamble and stuff like that. But yes, queen.
Last question. Hey, girls. My boyfriend is such an amazing guy. It's a healthy and loving relationship. My question is, what do you do when your love languages don't match? My love language is words of affirmation. Well, he shows love by doing things, so it's acts of servitude, I believe. My past relationships were very unhealthy, so I feel like I need lots of reassurance by words. How can I put my insecurities aside and learn not to rely on constant feedback? I love a good love language question.
I love a love language question. So let's, just in case some of the girls don't know the love language.
Oh, is, yes.
The different types. So well, I'm going to Google it just
first,
in case.
Yeah, and I'll explain. So love language is basically how you show love, but also how you would like to receive love. And usually how you show it is usually what you kind of want as well, because you usually like project what you want. So say, for example, this girl is saying words of affirmation, which is one of the love languages. She wants words of affirmation. So she wants a guy to be like, I love you so much, you're so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. So she probably also gives that to him.
She needs, like, the descriptive of like, oh, what are you thinking? What do you think about me?
Yeah.
How do you think a relationship is going? Another one is quality time. Mm-hmm. So some people will expect like a lot of time spent together and doing things.
Like without phones. You know, they'd be, it'd be like a big thing for them would be like, we're going away for the weekend, just you and me, and it's a phoneless society we're going to.
Like, or that kind of like, if the fella was like, oh, I'm going out with the lads, and they're like, oh, we usually have the weekend together. Like, can't deal with that shit. And then there's giving gifts, which
the
is...
the gassest one.
Giving gifts.
My love language is gifts.
Which is like giving and receiving. So, you either are like very just generous with buying stuff for your partner to show love. You just buy them stuff. Or else you like receiving gifts.
That's my worst one.
That's my worst one too. Gifts. I buy myself gifts, honey. Acts of service. Who we both love they.
Yeah, and that's what she's saying her boyfriend is. So
and acts then the of last service, one is physical touch.
So that's like someone who's real tactile and like kind of PDA vibes. But acts of servitude is like someone who does stuff for you, like would be like, I'll fucking get your accountant sorted, or I'll drive you to work every day, or that's how,
or I'll put that shelf up.
And that's a lot of, I think it's a very Irish male way of like, a lot of Irish guys I know would be like that.
And a good Irish man,
because like I feel like it's their comfort zone. Well, it is their comfort zone of like showing affection. However, I do find that it's the one that a lot of girls find the hardest to recognize as a love language. I didn't know that was a love language until we did our episode on love languages, which was like two Valentine's days ago. I never knew that that was like, I was like, oh, like I knew that, because I think like for me, I was always like, well, everyone does that in a way for people that they care about. You'll be like, oh, I'll pick that up for you, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. But there is a specific love language way about it that's more towards like romantic people that you love? And it can be really hard to compute because you're like, he never tells me he likes me.
I think maybe, like, see, I've seen it. That's how my dad is to my mum.
Yes.
And my mum and dad are quite similar with their love languages from what I'm assuming.
You've got more experience with it.
Yeah. So, like, that was always something that, like, I have not ever found a man who has, you know, that has been his love language. But it is definitely something that I would kind of put on a pedestal because it's how I've seen and been shown love through my parents.
Yes.
Because, like, that's how they work.
Mm.
You know, like, my mum will do things for my dad and vice versa. And also they have, like, quality time would be another one. Like, they definitely, like, they have their weekends away or they have, like, yeah, going out for dinner and they put the time into just them. But definitely that was something that I struggled with in my past relationships because that kind of configuration over, like, because it's probably the least romantic out of all of them. Like, physical yeah. touch, words of affirmation,
well, it's the least
quality time.
In a really, like, in a veneer kind of way. Very superficial.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Which is, you know, a lot of romance these days, we only see it as a superficial thing because a lot of the time it's also, like, invented by women for women. So we're like, romance is, like, gifts and presents and yachts. And then, like...
Or, like, him, like, smothering me with kisses
yeah,
every morning.
Yeah, or, like, you know, a good morning text calling me beautiful every day. It's, like, usually shit that no man actually does. They've just read it in a magazine. They're like, that's how you do it.
I also... It's, like, I... Words of affirmation for me, I like an honest communication with a guy. Like, I very much appreciate that, but I don't need
like, constant compliments,
kind of like, you're gorgeous,
like,
or no. Da, 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 da. It's like, I just have to go through my Instagram comments to get that, you know the way?
Yeah, I think what, like, so I kind of resonated with her thing as well because I would be similar to her in the sense that Evan's love language is definitely
acts of service.
And mine would be more words of affirmation. And I think for ages I was always like, especially when we started seeing each other, I was so like, does this guy like me? Because I would always be, because mine is words of affirmation, like, I would be, I'm not over the top with it, but I wouldn't, I'd be like to a guy like, oh, I really like you, mm-hmm. and blah blah blah. And like, usually guys would kind of give it back to me a bit, but Evan is very not words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So I was always like, why is this guy hanging out with me? This is so weird. He's like never told me he likes me, but he'll like shoot all my merch for me. Like,
yeah.
Is he my mate? It's very, you have to reconfigure what you've been told is romantic, because we're told romance is like sweeping me off my feet and bring me out to dinner. Now, he did a few of them too. Don't get me wrong. I'll throw him.
Well, I think it's communicative. I think it's like, yeah. It's not that, yes, you're trying to configure like romance from how we've been sold it via like movies and songs or whatever, but it also is how you communicate. So you communicate with your words.
Yeah.
Like, if you like someone and you are into them and you find them attractive, you will just tell them.
Yes.
Which I am the same. Like, yeah. If I like someone, I'll just tell them.
And a lot of girls are, I feel.
And I'm like, it is, and I just think some guys don't really think like that. But if
yeah.
they're enjoying your company and if they value you and want to see you again, then they'll kind of maybe implement like certain things like acts of service, and that's how they tell you that they
yeah.
like you. So it's just a different communication.
Exactly. And you just have to rewire your brain into accepting that as like it can also be a love language. Like, that's just from my experience as someone who had no kind of exposure to acts of service as a kind of love language. Like, you had it with your dad, so you saw, you know, that's the best way. If you see your dad doing it to your mom, you completely can see that as like a way
yeah.
of like,
well,
expressing love.
I also, my mom and dad spoke to me about it because
okay.
like, my parents are Christian. That's, these five love languages are really, they speak about it in the church and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something to be aware of. And I think that having the same love language is, you know, sometimes can be counterproductive. So
yeah.
say if you both really value words of affirmation. And me and my ex would have been like that. We both would have
yeah.
told each other, oh, it's I love, da, da, da.
And it can,
you know,
just become a whole lot of talk after
yeah,
a while.
But then it was like, that was not built on anything because we were saying all these nice things to each other. But then, you know, I felt it was unequal because I was also doing the acts of service because it was what I was used
mm-hmm.
to seeing, but then he wouldn't
follow
have
up.
Been doing that to me. So okay. I was giving the affirmation and the acts of service and he was just giving the affirmation and it wasn't following through. So say with words of affirmation, someone can be like, I want to do this. We, like a we person where they're like, we should do this. I want to buy this. Let's go in on this couch together or whatever the fuck you're yapping on about. But if it's not going to like launch into the actual physical act of service where you're both going to
book the trip.
Or yeah, or going to the couch shop to buy the couch or whatever. Yeah. You know, if it's like, that can be difficult because like at the start of my relationship with my ex, it was like, oh, we're so in love because we're telling each other we are. But then it wasn't transcending. So that's when it was difficult because it was like, that's, I think, when my love language changed because I was like, then not believing what he was saying because it wasn't following through, you know?
Yeah, well, you didn't, you know, you can't accept someone's love language if it's words of affirmation when you've got a breach of trust, because then their words are just words, you know what I mean? It's like you're saying, you want an honest compliment, but you don't want some guys just blowing smoke up your ass constantly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like so unequal because it's like kind of random. Like, I mean, obviously I've got words of affirmation, so I'd be like, you know, saying that stuff to Evan, but I'm not like, hey queen, oh, you looking hot today. Like, it's so unequal. Like, men do that a lot to women, but it's like random as hell if I was like, oh, when I'm walking through the door.
I think this is as well why, you know, if we're looking at the acts of service, it is probably the most masculine way to show love.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a real tangible
touch
way.
I think physical touch and acts of service is probably the most like masculine way, and then if we're looking at the more like effeminate ways would be like words of affirmation and quality time, like women love spending time with their
best. And women are just great communicators, so like it would make sense that we'd be really, and we're very empathetic, so it's really good, it would make sense that like women would appreciate like talking about our emotions and spending time talking about it.
Yeah, but because men, that's how we like, talk with our gals.
Yeah, exactly. Know? It's like how we make
sense.
We're
more used to it.
It's how we make sense of like relationships and romance and where we stand. Like, it's like why girls are always like, we need to have a talk. And men are like, why don't I hang your shelf? And we're like, hang the shelf and we talk. Brilliant.
Yeah.
But it is like, I mean, so for this girl, like I would say to her, like, she's saying that like she's had really unhealthy relationships, so she feels that she needs a lot of reassurance by words, and I can like understand that, because maybe your trust has been broken in the past, or like maybe you feel that like a lot of the time that can be because a guy has blown smoke up your ass and then broken your trust, you know, that way where it's like you've expected your relationship was one thing and then it was like flipped and you're like, oh God.
I think as well with if you've had unhealthy relationships in the past, that is learned.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've had long-term relationships that are unhealthy, that is the norm.
Yeah.
You know? So
you're used to the chaos.
Yeah, you're used to the chaos. You're second-guessing like normal people. Like, this is your norm. Your new normal is like chaos. And so if someone is being like up straight with you or kind to you, if you're used to being tripped up and let down and treated badly, then you can be like, huh, what? It can be hard to like accept true love or like a nice guy, you know.
Yeah,
and that's something that you do have to be aware from. And if you have dealt, I think, with seriously unhealthy relationships, it probably is good as well to be able to seek like to speak to someone, because if you're looking for your partner to continuously like reinforce his feelings or make you feel good or make you feel safe and secure in this relationship, it might be beyond his pay grade, because if he is used to healthy relationships, he might be like, what? Like, what's going on here? So like,
and it can be like, not to put her down, but it can be annoying. Like, I've never had it with a boyfriend, but I've kind of had it with some friends in the past where they feel like, I feel like they expect me to constantly reassure them that we're mates. And I'm like, you'll know if we're not mates because we have a healthy friendship and we can communicate. Like, if we're quote unquote not mates, I'm not sneaking off bitching about you. Like, if we're good, we're good.
Yeah.
And so that can be a thing that you're bringing past trauma or past kind of toxicity into a new relationship. And again, as you said, Linz, it's so true that, you know, as humans, what we're used to, whether it's healthy or not, is comfortable to us because it's
learned.
It's learned, and it's what we're completely used to. Like, it's why a lot of the time, you know, you do find people who are used to, say, like, chaotic relationships or
abusive relationships.
Abusive, or even on the lighter end, just fighting all the time and yapping and, or like
being, that almost turns into their love language.
Yeah, well, it does,
you know?
Because it's what you're used to sometimes. And, you know, there can be a bit of that that's healthy. You know, there can be a bit where it's like, oh, whatever, we get at each other. But then it's a scale, right? There can be a scale where you're just so used to people, and this goes to friendships too, people treating you badly, that you're actually more comfortable living in what's regular for you, rather than seeing your new fella being like, yes, he might not have this love language that you want, right? He might not have this words of affirmation, but you can recognize that he's doing the acts of service. So instead of concentrating what he doesn't have, and this goes across beyond love languages, it's like with boyfriends, if you're questioning your fella, like, I mean, look at what they do have and what they do give you, and then see if it's, if that in itself is enough, then don't, everyone's missing something, you know, that way there's always someone has like a communication lapse somewhere, you know, and there's no point in only concentrating on that, but unless it outweighs the good, you know, that way, like if it is like impacting your relationship.
And you totally seem like self-aware that you're like recognizing that it's your past kind of more traumatic relationships that are probably disabling you from moving forward into this healthy relationship. But you cannot be in a healthy relationship until you're healthy in yourself. And if you have this past unresolved trauma, I mean, for me, I, when, you know, everything went down with my, for Rilo's dad.
Yeah.
And he, it was just such a shock to my system. He moved away, and like, it was just something I never expected to be like, I was fine with being single parent co-parenting, but I really was knocked for six when he moved away and just was not helping me at all with the choice of
it was
just so, and it really was like took over my brain. I couldn't understand it. I spoke about it so much, I couldn't figure it out. I was just so angry. I was really, really angry. And like, I think it was my sister said to me one day, you know, and it was also a family issue, so we were talking about it, like, as, you know, with my friends, with my family. It was just like, no one understood it, and it was deplorable behavior. So it was like this, you know, almost exciting thing to talk about, to try and figure out. But there was one day, I think my sister said, like, you need to just leave it. You need to just
move on.
Because you're bringing it into your everyday. And I was just like so distrustful of people. And it just, it affected me. But I was like, you're never going to figure it out. You're never going to understand. You're never going to like conclude it with, say, your ex-partner or whatever. I didn't. So it was just like, I need to just figure it out and expect better for myself and my son and whatever. So with the same with relationships, it's like, yes, it is disheartening when you look back and see you being mistreated by someone, and especially when you're like, oh my goodness, I so believed in that love.
Yeah, I fell, you know, you're for like, it. Ugh. When it's an ego hit, it's so hard too, where you're like, why did I believe that bullshit?
Oh, no, like what?
That was the same me in my last relationship. I'm like, fucking hell. And of course, it's again, like we said in the last three questions, hindsight is 2020.
And it can feel a bit embarrassing when you're like, oh my goodness, I literally bruised. And when we're talking about like, say, long-term relationships, like the last question, you're like, I spent 5 years. Yeah. It was a lapping waste of time because I was like,
do you know what's so bad as well? Oh, and it's, it just happens to everyone, but like it's when your friends are like, yeah, you know, like say you're like bring up something about your like boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend, should I say, that like you're like, yeah, like I really didn't really like that he didn't have a job for 2 years, and your friend's like, yeah, we'd mentioned that, and you're like,
I know, you're like,
because
oh,
never said it aloud, and you're like, and that's everyone knew.
I know. And that's the most mortifying thing, because it's so easy to pull like the wool over your eye, like for a guy that you're like mad about or whatever. Like, I mean, even like with ex-friendships of mine, like say my gal pals would be like, yeah, we really didn't like it. You're like, oh my
yeah,
god,
you're like,
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Because I was like aware of them being like a bit, you know, making things uncomfortable,
yeah,
or like coming to things that they weren't invited to and being like, is that okay, girls? And then being like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. But the main thing is that like everyone gets in those awkward points where like you're like, oh God, hindsight. But the important thing is to, as you said, what happened to you with Rilo's dad is like moving on from it and not applying it to every new boyfriend, friend, whatever that you have, you
yeah
know, that way. And this girl, like, she might be, you know, if she was unfortunate enough to have really unhealthy relationships and a string of them, that's really, really hard. And it can feel like you can blame yourself, you can, there's so much shit to unpack there, but you know what you have to, you have, what you have to do is break the cycle. And
you have to break the cycle.
And you've broken it in the sense that you're saying you've got this good guy now, new enough relationship as far as I can tell, and you know, you're self-aware in the point that you can see that this is how he is expressing love. So you just have to take that as face value. And you know,
but you can also see that you're not enjoying this relationship, your healthy relationship that you've, I'm assuming, longed for. If you've been in like difficult situations, like I think everyone longs for like a nice healthy relationship. And if you're seeing that you have this, but you're still bringing in like your past trauma, and you maybe haven't unpacked that, so like I would, like, don't devalue the fact that like those past experiences, whether it was like a seriously unhealthy relationship or just a kind of like, you know, we were fighting loads kind of relationship,
yeah,
don't devalue the fact that they do impact your your ways of communicating with people. So maybe if your last boyfriend didn't, you know, wasn't giving you any kind of like acknowledgement of like being in this relationship and whatever, so that's why with this boyfriend you're looking for this constant
reassurance.
Maybe
like, we are in love.
I'm not gonna fuck you up, I'm not gonna like and leave you for the sesh for 3 days, I'm here, I'm fine. It's like you need to do that outside, because it then is you're bringing in this unhealthy and then the worst thing about it, where I've been in situations before with like smaller relationships and I've been like, okay, I need to opt out of this because I'm not ready, but like there's been times, this is in the past, I mean, like when I would have, I'm like, whoa, because of my past relationships and the past toxicity that I endured, I'm now being the toxic one.
Yeah.
You know, like totally. I'm bringing in these things and making it toxic and uncomfortable when my partner is more healthy than my last one. And so it's like, if that's happening, you need to just figure that out. And whether it's talking to someone, but you just don't want to bring it into your relationship.
Yeah, I agree. And also remember, with words of affirmation, the end of the day, words are just words. And that's why, you know, me and Lindsay have always, well, you always told me, and then I was like, oh my God, she's so right, that like the acts of service is the best one, because it's so tangible and it's helpful. Like words,
on both sides. Yeah. Like, you know, words, like you want to have someone who you help and they like, you know, and that's a kind of partnership in that sense.
And words of affirmation, like, you're just going off your gut that they're as honest as you are. Because like, you know, if you're like, I'm sure you think of yourself as an honest person, so your words of affirmation are coming from a place of honesty. But like, people can also use words of affirmation to manipulate you. So,
but also with words of affirmation, it's very much just insular to your relationship.
Yeah, it's just
like
words.
You know, like words of affirmation is like you two talking on the couch or whatever. But like all the other things is more like as a spherical, like whole relationship.
Yeah, it's like holistic.
So
you got yourself a good one.
Yeah.
Especially if you can drive. That's the dream. Oh, that's like please. The golden nugget.
Oh my God.
A man with a little motor.
A man with a car.
Who will drive you somewhere. Oh honey.
Stop.
We're getting wet.
I am, literally. I can't deal. A man who can drive is so rare. Well, according to us.
According to us, honestly. Like, I mean,
the dream, yeah. The literal dream.
I would wonder, is there like a Venn diagram? Maybe we should make one, like a meme of like Dublin lads, you can only choose two. And it's like, can drive, has an apartment, steady job, maybe. You can only choose two. Very rare to get the trifecta.
True. Very true.
Whoa, I'll make that meme, guys. Okay, guys, that is all that we have this week for you. We've got a really juicy app coming next week. We're going to be talking about Free Britney. You've asked for it. We're going to do it.
So let's not leave Britney alone.
Yeah.
Remember that meme? Leave Chris Britney Crawford. Alone. I was like,
who's now? A porn star.
A porn star? I thought you were going to say TikTok star.
OnlyFans. Look him up. He looks so different now. He's like a beefcake with veneers, really hot.
Can I just say that he started the sheet behind? Remember he had the
yes!
sheet? And now every motherfucking girl on social media had the sheet.
Their mommy's flat sheet.
You could see the peg.
Okay, guys. TTYL. Bye.
Bye.